Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Let's move on now to the latest news about casinos in Massachusetts. Mayor Marty Walsh has made a deal with the developer of the proposed Suffolk Downs Casino in Revere. That news was reported in the Boston Globe this morning, and it's just the latest twist in that ongoing battle over casino gambling in eastern Massachusetts. And joining us now is the Globe's Mark Arsenal. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here again.
So first of all, you reported this morning that Mayor Walsh and Mohegan Sun are near a deal. Can you just give us the bold strokes of what the major parts of this deal are?
Well, would love to if anyone knew. These are closely held details. From what we understand, lawyers for both sides are combing back through this purported agreement to make sure that everyone agrees that it says what people think it says. And then the mayor intends to release the details. They're bragging that this is a very lucrative deal, but we want to see it on paper before we accept that, obviously.
Okay, so essentially, from what your sources are telling you so far, Mohegan Sun says it'll probably pay the city to offset the effects of a Revere casino at Suffolk Downs, but East Boston is cut out of the picture regarding their or Mayor Walsh's push to allow them to have a vote on this.
This was something that Walsh took a stand on a few months ago, was that East Boston should have a right to vote on this Mohegan Sun proposal, because even though it's literally feet from the city line, it is in Revere, but all of the same amount of effects of the casino would still be felt in East Boston, literally feet away. And he also made a similar request over in Charlestown. He says the Charlestown neighborhood should be able to have a binding vote on the future of the Wynn Resorts casino proposal, which is in Everett, right on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah. So I wonder, I take your point that the fine details have yet to be made public in regarding this deal. But regarding this East Boston, being cut out of the picture here, is that essentially a win for a Suffolk Downs casino? Because back in November 2013, East Boston did have its vote when they considered having part of the casino in the community, and they said no.
Yeah, they said no overwhelmingly after Suffolk Downs had romanced them for more than 5 years. So that proposal was dead. Killed by East Boston voters, Suffolk Downs quickly made a deal with Mohegan Sun to lease the Revere portion of the racetrack. The city line passes right through the track. They want to lease the land on the Revere portion to Mohegan Sun for a brand new proposal. They needed some help from the State Gaming Commission in order to do this legally. Held another vote in February in Revere. That passed, and now that becomes the application. So East Boston, legally, people complain that this is maybe a little too cute the way it happened, but legally they have been cut out of the vote.
So is it too facile to say that this seems like a great deal for Mohegan Sun?
Well, we'll see how much they're paying for the city's for the city's blessing here. Now, what people should keep in mind is that Mohegan Sun and Wynn don't need the city's blessing to move forward. They need to make these agreements happen, but they could happen through arbitration. Now, Wynn apparently is starting arbitration later this week or next week with the city if they're unable to reach a deal. So Boston did not have leverage to stop either of these proposals.
Okay, so how is all of this, or do we have a sense about how all of this is going to factor into the State Gaming Commission's impending decisions on the rival plans between Wynn and Mohegan Sun that could come as soon as next month?
Mohegan Sun has been pushing really hard to get a deal with Boston. It is a PR coup in its ongoing battle with Wynn. And also, it sends a message, they believe, to the State Gaming Commission that, look at us, we've reached all these agreements with all these surrounding communities voluntarily. We've perhaps paid a premium in order to avoid arbitrations, which would demonstrate how easy we would be to regulate as a company going forward were we to win this very lucrative license. Mm-hmm. Wynn has already beaten Somerville and Chelsea in arbitration. Those deals have been settled by an arbitrator. It looks like he may end up in arbitration with Boston as well.
This might be a silly question, but I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about it. What's the point of any deal right now if the entire state is going to vote on the casino law come November?
That's exactly the point that Marty Walsh made just last week to the Gaming Commission. He asked them to put off this entire process until after November, when the full state votes on question three, which is a proposed repeal of the 2011 gaming law, which would make casinos illegal, would roll the industry out, which would be kind of unprecedented in America. So it's certainly going to be an election that's going to get a lot of coverage nationwide. Between now and November, Walsh said, why not wait till then? It's only 4 months away, but the commission believes that it should act on the law as it stands now. The law right now says casinos are legal, so they're going forward.
Well, Mark Arsenal covers the torturous path of casinos in the state of Massachusetts. He's a reporter for the Boston Globe. Great to have you as always, Mark.
Anytime.
Time now for the Remembrance Project, the lives of those among us. This is our series of stories from writer Elisa Eli about ordinary people who lived extraordinary lives.
Peter Padula died March 13th in Burlington, Massachusetts. He was 87 years old and had raised his family in Chelmsford, 28.9 miles from his childhood home in Somerville. His immigrant Italian parents considered this a dangerously far distance. In some ways, his was a traditional childhood. During the Great Depression, his father worked in the garment industry and expected that his sons would follow him there. A disciplinary leather strap hung on the back of the bathroom door in the family home. In other ways, his childhood was not traditional. Early anxiety was misdiagnosed as a heart condition, and for years Mr. Padua was treated for an illness he did not have. There were consequences. He never learned to swim. Too much exertion for a cardiac patient, and when taking the pool test for entrance to the Navy, had to be pulled out of the water with a hook. Even so, he was given a passing score and sent on to boot camp. Mr. Padua played saxophone in a swing band with his wife during the 1940s and 50s. Mary Ann and her orchestra toured local ballrooms and dance halls. Body and Soul was their signature tune. But he wanted to provide for his family, and it was a sign of an intentional life when he put his saxophone away and went to accounting school. That led to corporate executive jobs, which elevated them financially. After each of his four children graduated from college, they received a car. Mr. Padua, not usually one to spend on his own luxuries, started with a VW Bug. But after the last baccalaureate gift, he was driving a Lexus. He did not want to die. When one of his sons tried to have that gentle, cathartic conversation meant to free the very ill, Mr. Padua cut him off. "I just want to get better," he said. 5 years before his death, doctors had predicted he would require dialysis for his end-stage renal disease. He rejected their prediction and was able to fend it off by stringent diet alone. Very stringent. The great lover of Italian food was forced to give up tomato sauce. His funeral was in the Chelmsford Church, where he had been a communicant for 50 years. Though he did not want to die, he had already written his own obituary.
Elisa Eli, remembering Peter Padula, who died last March in Burlington, Mass, at the age of 87.
The Remembrance Project airs every Tuesday on Radio Boston. If you'd like to suggest someone to be profiled for the series, you can send an email to obits@wbur.org, and you can find more information at radioboston.org. Stick with us. Coming up, Republican gubernatorial candidate Mark Fisher. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.